Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I'll give you that. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agumake. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We got Book It coming up in about 10 minutes. A special Friday edition because we forgot to do it on Thursday. Straight up. We're going to own our mistakes, hand in the air when we mess up on these things, Janae. That's just how we are.
Scout's honor.
Scout's honor.
2 days of Girl Scouts, but still Scout's honor.
My God, is it? Oh, it is. It's fully Girl Scouts cookie season around here right now. I know the prices have gone up a little bit, Janae, but these are things that, especially in these uncertain times, feel overwhelmingly worth it.
Samoas are the best. I don't care about you, Thin Mints people.
Janae. You do so many things great in life. You're an unbelievable teammate. We celebrated you re-signing with the Sparks yesterday, but I promise you we are not going to have Thin Mint slander around the show. Can't do it. Can went with him. Can't coach him. Can't do it.
I'm sorry. We can fight over this.
We're going to try and find a way to get through this, and we are because the NBA is on ESPN Radio. Tune in Sunday as Pat Connaughton and the Bucks host Nick Batum and the Clippers, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. Janae, what did you call Pat Connaughton one time?
Pat McConaughton.
The Notre Dame runs so deep that he became Pat McConaughton in a heartbeat wearing the leprechaun outfit.
Precisely.
God help us all on this. You know what? To help us out with this and a lot more, because there are some serious headlines coming out of the NBA right now, players being held out because of injury, and I heard a conversation about NBA Top Shot and something called CryptoKitties on ESPN Daily involving our next guest, Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA insider and host of the Hoop Collective podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And Brian, I'm very excited to talk to you about NBA Top Shot. You're one of the few people that's been able to explain it in a way that I can even come close to understanding. But before we get to that, I probably should ask you, Kevin Durant being held out still because of that hamstring through the All-Star weekend out of an abundance of caution we have heard. But Brian, is this an indictment about KD's progress here, or is it truly just the Nets understanding the point they're at in the season?
Well, the hamstring wasn't getting better. You know, they didn't think it was going to be this long, and it wasn't getting better. And so we had a second MRI, and they saw that it wasn't getting better. And so when a hamstring isn't getting better, the only thing you can really do is rest it longer. So they're going to shut him down. And I don't really, you know, they're saying after the All-Star break, but that means they're just going to assess him after the All-Star break. Doesn't mean he's going to pop back up like a daisy in 2 weeks. So he could be out a while, but the Nets are playing really, really well. And I'm not worried about Kevin Durant fitting in with a team. I've seen him fit in with the stars on the Thunder. I've seen him fit in with stars on the Warriors. The most important bond there is between Kyrie and Harden. And so these times that they're getting together and learning to work together are valuable. So I'm not really worried about when Durant gets back as long as he's healthy.
Before we get to Top Shot, Brian, please help me because I have no clue about that, and I'm so excited to hear what you have to say. I just have one quick follow-up on the Brooklyn Nets. Does James Harden deserve a little bit more MVP love these days?
Yeah. You know, I voted for him as a starter on the All-Star team. It was difficult for the vote to pick the East guards. I voted for him as a starter because, Chinee, I feel like he's done some of his best playing in his career in this last 6 weeks or so, whenever the trade was. He has cut down on the hunting for fouls. His free throws is literally in half to play a more democratic style of offense. And from his first game with Kyrie, I watched his first two games with Kyrie very closely. It was a two-game series in Cleveland. He really yielded to him. He knew that Kyrie's role was the most that was under threat, and that Kyrie had to deal with it. And there have been times where I feel like he's yielded to him too much because Kyrie has a tendency, frankly, to hog the ball a little bit. But Kyrie's shots have stayed very elevated and Harden's shots have been down. And Kyrie's response to seeing some trust coming from Harden was to say to him, okay, I want you to be the point guard. Now, maybe that seems obvious because Harden's been an MVP as a point guard. But Kyrie left Cleveland basically because he didn't have his hands on the ball and control enough and walked away from one of the greatest players of all time. So I wasn't taking that as a given. So the way Harden has developed that relationship, and not only that, but is playing spectacular basketball, I don't think he can win it, you know, realistically because of a lot of factors, but he's certainly on my list, and I've been very impressed with him.
Brian, do you think that style you mentioned, the free throws being down, so many people always brought that up as being an eyesore with him on the court. Do you think that's going to go a long way in how far that conversation can go, though?
You know, Golic, I think it's more about his teammates. I think it probably was not fun to play with him when he spent all the time dribbling and drove in there and tried to get fouled. It's not necessarily fun to play with. And you look at this offense that he's in, it's got a chance to be the greatest statistical offense of all time. And there's a lot of guys to share the ball with and a lot of guys who need to have their hands on the ball, even with Durant out. And so I think he's just making a calculated decision. I'm going to play this way. Doesn't mean that if they need 2 points, he can't pull out his wizardry where he throws his arms and hips and body and all that stuff and jumps into his defender and all the stuff that he does to get to the line. He'll still do it, but he has gone away from it, and I respect it. He came to Brooklyn with a completely different mindset, and at this point in his career, to make those changes, no matter what happened when he got out of Houston, whatever he did there, he did. The way the Nets have gotten together and have shown cohesion has been way faster than I thought. And guys, we are seeing far and away, and I want to emphasize this, far and away, the most crazy offensive season in the history of the league. 8 of the top 12 offensive seasons by team are happening in the history, are happening right now, including the top 4. This may be a year, and I can't say for sure, I can't tell you what the playoffs are going to look like. This may be a year where it's all gas and you just win by outscoring everybody. And if that's the case, the Nets have a great chance to do it all.
You heard it here first, Friday, February 26th, from Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA Insider. Also, check out the Hoop Collective podcast here on Chenea and Golic Jr. Chenea Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. just talking about Brooklyn Nets and the offensive explosion this year in the NBA. Thank you for that note. Now, Brian, help me, please. I have zero clue about NBA Top Shot. What is it?
You know what, Chenea? I'm not going to advocate for it. I've just talked about it because it's a thing that's happening. I don't necessarily believe that it's a wise investment, but maybe you should listen to me. I'm not a person who is the type of person to invest in speculative stuff like this. But it is a digital. Piece of memorabilia. And when I say digital, I mean it does not actually physically exist. It exists only in ones and zeros, only on the internet. And the reason that people really like it, in addition to the fact that we are in a boredom economy era where stuff that people can do on their computers is extremely popular, but it's also because that sports cards are very popular, and even just all pieces of memorabilia are popular, shoes, jerseys, stuff like that. But it's difficult to buy and sell them because you have to physically ship them. You know, you have to, in cases of sports cards, you have to get them graded, and it's subjective. You don't know how many there are. You know, I tell the story that when I was a kid, I loved Ken Griffey Jr. I collected this Topps Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card. I put it in plastic, thought it would be worth a lot of money someday. It turns out they printed millions of them, and a lot of people felt that way, and it's not worth millions. But with this thing, because it's digital, because it's on the blockchain, if they only create 50 of them, you know there's only 50. And like with the Picasso, if there's only maybe 3,000 people in the world who really, really, really badly want to buy a Picasso, that means you have a market. That means if you have a Picasso, you'll always be able to sell it. Maybe Top Shot will be that. Maybe there will be people who always want it. But I'm going to tell you that in the last 7 days, there's been $150 million in Top Shot transactions. I can't believe it. I can't believe it'll sustain, but it certainly is happening for sure.
The power of a boredom economy, I love that phrase, has propelled GameStop to new heights, and now we're going to see if NBA Top Shot can benefit from some of that same magic. Brian, we appreciate the time and the insight on this. I'm sorry we didn't get to talk about your passion for CryptoKitties. Maybe that'll come up next time.
Have a great weekend, guys.
Brian Windhorst, our ESPN NBA insider. Check out the Hoop Collective podcast wherever you get that. And check out ESPN Daily. He went on with Pablo Torre to talk about that explosion, digital memorabilia with NBA Top Shot, basically trying to take the magic we have with trading cards, Chenea, and turn it over into the digital age. And I see your eyes glassing over already. I can only imagine some of our listeners agree with you.
No. I think it's kind of cool, but now in my head I'm just like, oh my gosh, I either don't want to get one or I need to get all of the Rocket stuff. Like, I'm trying to go vintage Rocket, so I'm like torn. I'm 50-50 right now.
It's worth exploring because it is interesting. But like Brian said, we have seen during the pandemic, people treat the stock market kind of like it's sports betting. When people didn't have sports, people are at home, they've got money on their hands, and they're trying to look for a place to go and take it for a ride. And this is the newest one, but it's got some legitimate backing, so we can kind of see where it goes on this. But coming up next, let's get away from NBA Top Shot. Let's get away from CryptoKitties, and let's focus on the real magic. The thing that Brian Windhorst and I both agree on, that we're both willing to stake our reputations on, it seems, and that I was, quite frankly, earlier to market on than most. We'll get to that next, and we book it here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Chinay Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Chinay Gwumike. We're going to play Friday Book It. We forgot to do it yesterday. We got to get these spicy takes off somewhere. And now that I've gotten backing from one of our ESPN NBA insiders, I feel even better about living my truth on at least one of these. But before we get to that, I got to ask you guys a very important question.
Okay.
Post Malone did a cover of this song by Hootie and the Blowfish. Only Want to Be With You.
You did a cover? Okay, yeah.
God, how do we always find our way back here? This is unbelievable. The slander. Yesterday, Chinay called me James Corden. Today, it's Post Malone, and I understand the through line on all of these people, even if I can't quite put my finger on it. But Post Malone did a cover of this song for the Pokemon 25th anniversary, which in its own right is an incredible headline. But he remixed it and said, the Cowboys make him cry. And our friend Alyssa Lang, who's a great host at the SEC Network, does a great job covering all variety of sports, is a sideline reporter in college football, tweeted yesterday, Chinay, and she said, I've listened to Post Malone's Only Want to Be With You Hootie cover roughly 11,000 times, and I did not realize that Darius Rucker was talking about the Miami Dolphins when he said, I'm such a baby because the Dolphins make me cry. Did you guys all know that he was talking about the Miami Dolphins and not actual Dolphins?
I thought it was actual Dolphins.
So you're learning this for the first time right now.
Oh, 100%. Because you know what my history is with lyrics?
Yeah, no, not great. Not great. Not a great history with lyrics. So you really didn't know? You thought it was actually Travis Connor? Did you guys know that it was
no
the
clue.
Miami Dolphins?
I had no clue.
I was aware.
Oh, Burks, you didn't know it was Miami Dolphins either?
I didn't even know he sang Dolphins till Travis just sang it 5 seconds ago, and I was like, wow, this guy cries over Dolphins.
So, like very, very similar to what Michael and Jr. would cry over. That's why I was confused by who sang it, like who remixed it. You know.
Whew, all right. See, I'm learning a lot. We're gonna have to unpack this in the next segment. Dan Graziano is gonna join us. We'll see if he had any idea, because now I have to take stock of the people in my life. But before we do that, we got spicy takes. We got to get them out now.
Let's go.
We only know one way how to do it. It's book it. Damn it. Let's
yes.
go. All right, guys, book it. You know the drill. You add book it to any of your hot take. It's a hot take multiplier. It allows you to feel like Stephen A. Smith, if only for a moment.
You can book it.
Put it in the books.
You know what time it is. It's book it time, damn it.
I'm still saying no.
Book it is brought to you by Body Armor Light Sports Drink, made with no artificial sweeteners and no sugar added to hydrate your active lifestyle. Travis is in charge of reading the questions today. Travis is going to give us the spicy takes. If we like it, we'll shout book it. Play great sounders. If we don't, we won't. We move on. Travis, you ready to do this today?
Yep. Ladies first. We'll go with Chinay here.
Oh.
Dak, Deshaun, and Russ will all be playing on different teams next fall.
I'm not going to be able to book this one just because we all saw the subliminals from Dak Prescott saying, yo, my goal is to sign back with the Cowboys. And I feel like they'll figure it out. The ties that bind Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks, I mean, look at the cap to look no further. So I'm not going to book this one, Junior.
I'm not going to book this one either. Our poll at ESPN Radio right now is asking, which of the three do you think is most likely to land on a different team? And I'm with you. I still think it's Deshaun Watson because he has the right motivation to make this happen. What do we got next, Travis?
All right, Gojo, we'll go with you. James Harden should be in the top three of the MVP race. You going to book that?
I am 100% booking this.
You can
right
book
now.
It.
Based on what we've seen, Brian Windhorst, our ESPN NBA insider, was just on with us and said he needs more shine in this. Chinay, you know I've been saying this for a while, but the way he has been playing, Wendy said he voted for him as a starter in the All-Star game, and I don't know why we have to let sample size affect what we know is a great thing that deserves this love right now.
What are you talking about, sample size? The guy showed up. He's been in every game just for different teams, and I'm booking this one too because when I'm thinking about the MVP conversation, top three, I'm booking it all the way. James Harden right now deserves to be in that conversation. LeBron James, Joel Embiid, And I think the next best case is James Harden, who's leading the league in assists with a nice 3B with Dame Dalla.
I was going to say, it's 2021. We can't have two posts in the top three of the MVP voting at this
right?
point. Sorry, Nikola Jokic. No disrespect to posts, as I just disrespect posts, because this is the show that celebrates posts, offensive and defensive linemen, et cetera.
Big ones need love, too.
Big people get love around here. It's Chenangle
Unless
Jr.
Unless you're Chenangle.
Yeah, that's very true. Both very, very single around here. We're playing Book It, though, on Chenangle Jr. So, Travis, why don't we go away from our pain of being single to another question?
All right, Chenae, the Jazz will make it to the Western Conference Finals. You going to book that?
I'm going to book it.
You can book it.
I have been trying to push Chenae towards this for days now. You feel good about this?
I really do. I think they have a little bit of everything. You have Donovan Mitchell, the explosive scorer, who is one of the most athletic players that just isn't a guard's body that leads their offense. Rudy Gobert, two-time defensive player of the year and all-star. That leads their defense. Quinn Snyder, who will be coaching the All-Star game. They make the most threes right now in the NBA. They just made 30 or 50? I can't remember. 50 combined threes in two games. The only team that's top five in both offensive and defensive efficiency. My nerd brain tells me that I'm going to book them being in the Western Conference Finals.
Ooh, I love to see it. I am not going to book this one.
I like this. I like this version of me.
I'm going to say, Chenae, it feels good sometimes to go out here and say the thing about the Jazz, especially because no one else in sports media is going to talk about the Jazz that much. So you can have sole ownership of the Jazz in the Western Conference Finals.
Continue.
Exactly. NBA Top Shot owner Chenae Igwumike in on the Jazz take here. I'm not going to book this one. I still look out at the West and I say I trust LeBron and the Lakers to figure things out here. And I think the Clippers, the way that they're constructed this year, we know and we haven't talked about much. This is a big time put up or shut up year for them. Things get contractually interesting with their stars after this season. And so I'm not going to book this one. I think we've got time for one more. Travis, what do we got here?
LeBron should be more focused on rest than the MVP. You going to book it, Gojo?
So this was interesting. Bill Plaschke wrote an article for the LA Times talking about the MVP chase, how LeBron James may be sapping too much energy trying to play big minutes in pursuit of another MVP in this spot. And he pointed out, he said, the Lakers are not a franchise that celebrates MVPs. Kobe only had one. Shaq only had one. This is about adding championship trophies to your closet. Chenae, I'm not going to book this, though, just because I believe in a world where you can have both. I think it's 2021. We can have that enlightened perspective on all of this. And I think LeBron not going to push it too far. And quite frankly, it's going to depend a lot more on his team for the MVP. And right now, that's the group that's letting him down here.
Exactly. And we are, according to Bill Plaschke, when it comes to LeBron James being MVP, like maybe we don't count those when it's the Lakers. We count championships. But guess who counts them all in the big picture here? Society. Like, that's what we want. He hasn't won an MVP in 8 years. He's been deprived of that opportunity, and this might be his best last chance. So go get that, because we know he can always get a title the next few years to come.
That is true. LeBron has always said he's chasing ghosts, and in this case, he's chasing people like us in the sports media who are going to come out and compare his long-time, all-time legacy to things that involve a lot more rings in that spot. Book It's brought to you by Body Armor Light Sports Drink, made with no artificial sweeteners and no sugar added to hydrate your active lifestyle. Coming up next, we'll spin the wheel on the QB carousel and find out if one of our ESPN NFL insiders thinks there's any validity to some comments made about Dak Prescott and the viability of paying him this offseason. We'll get to that after this word from Body Armor. Let Body Armor Lite help you achieve your fitness goals this year. That's right. Magic Mike is in the building. Chenae the Stallion gets this one off. We're going to handle it. Body Armor Lite is the low-calorie sports drink hydrating your active lifestyle. Flavors like berry punch and coconut. Big berry punch guy over here. It's got no artificial sweeteners, no sugar added, and only 20 calories per 16-ounce bottle. Athletes like Diana Taurasi, Donovan Mitchell, Megan Rapinoe all use Body Armor Lite to stay hydrated, so why not give it a try? And from now until April 30th, buy $20 of any Body Armor product, you're going to earn $10 in fitness cash towards select fitness retailers nationwide. Learn more at BACommitToFit.com. That's BACommitToFit.com. Quarterback carousel updates from our insider next on Chenangle Jr.
You can book it.
Chenae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
The Lakers and the Celtics both choosing to struggle at the same time is some bizarro world NBA nonsense. The Lakers, we understand. The Celtics, I think, is a little more of a case study. We'll get to that in about 10 minutes here. Chenae Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chenae Igwumike were presented by Progressive Insurance. But before we get to any of that point here, Janae, I think it's important that anytime quarterback conversations come up and Dan Orlovsky is out here letting us know, very strong beliefs on these things, guy who played quarterback a long time in the league, we need some backup in breaking these things down. And thankfully, we get some help from our friend Dan Graziano, our ESPN NFL insider, who's kind enough to join us here because he's been on NFL Live. You've seen him there a bunch with Dan Orlovsky in that group. And Dan came out the other day and was saying this about Dak Prescott, the star quarterback for the Cowboys, who we're still trying to wait and figure out if he's going to get paid. And this was his statement about Dak and paying him the kind of big top dollars he expects.
The biggest question is, what does Dak Prescott want? Here's the thing. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, you talk like Dak Prescott's a bum. No, I don't. I talk like Dak Prescott is a good quarterback. I have never said anything other than Dak Prescott's a good quarterback. I want somebody, whether it's either of you two, Molly, someone at home, to tell me when Dak has like been great, when he's elevated. Because Stephen A., you point the win-loss record and the stats. Absolutely. When your quarterback's cheap, you can spend a lot of money elsewhere. That helps the quarterback play well. It helps you win games.
Dan Graziano with us, and we appreciate the time, Dan. Hearing that again, it's not a new argument. This is something we heard when this conversation around paying Dak was going on last year. But do you think it ultimately ends up as a reason why Dak and the Cowboys don't get a long-term deal done here still?
No, I don't think money will end up that reason, because I think a year ago, they were in agreement on the money or roughly there. And the issue was years, right? It was the Cowboys wanting to do the 5-year contract so they could spread the salary cap hit out over a longer period of time. And Dak wanting to do the 4-year contract so he could hit free agency sooner. A lot of these big time free agents are looking at big TV money kicking in the next couple of years and wanting another bite of the apple when that happens. So you're going to see this a lot, guys looking for shorter term deals. And I think that remains, as I understand it, the crux of the issue this year, when they've, you know, have been talking but haven't had like really hard negotiations. I think mainly because each side knows where the other stands and they're just waiting to figure out what the salary cap is and all that. But no, I don't think money's the issue. To Dan's point, I mean, if you don't want to pay him like a top tier quarterback, you're not going to have him because someone would. So, and I don't think there's any evidence that the Cowboys don't want to pay him at that level. It was $34.5 million. A year in last year's offer, which would have put him second right behind Russell Wilson at the time. I imagine it's gone up. And again, the dollar amount has not been the issue.
Dan, you know, these days, a lot of quarterbacks have entered the chat voluntarily. And so we've been asking our family on ESPN social this poll question. And we wanted to ask you, because we know we saw your tweet highlighting Deshaun Watson and the latest status there. Which quarterback is most likely to leave at this point? And we wanted to ask you whether it is Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson, or Deshaun Watson?
I would go with Watson easily there. I think the Cowboys are set on having Dak, even if it's another franchise year. And the Russell Wilson stuff, while interesting, I just don't think it's – the situation in Seattle is not comparable to the situation in Detroit. Russell Wilson and the Seahawks are still talking. Even when they have contentious conversations, you know, there's still a relationship. Whereas the meeting that Deshaun Watson had with the new head coach, David Culley, last week is, to my knowledge, the only contact he's had with the organization since the season ended. And he's made it clear he wants out. Russell Wilson has certainly not made that clear. And in fact, he's told them he doesn't want out, even though there is also a list of teams he would go to, which is weird. If you don't want out, why would there be a list? But I don't think that Seattle's looking at a situation where they're expecting to not have Russell Wilson this year, whereas Houston is kidding themselves if they're not at least considering a situation where they don't have Deshaun Watson.
Janae Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to our ESPN NFL insider Dan Graziano. Great information as always there, Dan, but I cannot let you go without asking you this question, because I was shocked by the people that I work with today. We were listening to the song by Hootie and the Blowfish, Only Want to Be With You, and mm-hmm. The beginning lyric when he talks about, I'm such a baby because the Dolphins made me cry. Did you know that he was him talking about the Miami Dolphins and not actual Dolphins?
I did, and here's why. When that song came out, I was working in South Florida, and my job was, I was a backup beat writer on the Marlins beat and the Dolphins beat, and so we did a story about it. So, yes, I did happen to know that he was a Dolphins fan, and that is exactly what he's referring to in that song.
Dan, I knew I could trust you. The research,
well,
the time investment necessary to know the important things in life. Everybody, make sure you follow him on Twitter, at Dan Graziano, ESPN. Check him out all over the network, including on NFL Live. Thank you, Dan, for being a voice of reason in these trying times.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It's unbelievable. I'm still so blown away that over half this show... Shannon, you knew that was him talking about the Dolphins. All right, because again, the source of this, Alyssa Lang, who does such a great job covering everything for the SEC Network here. She's a great sideline reporter. Said that when she heard the Post Malone remake of that song, Only Want to Be With You, she didn't know, and I found out Sinead doesn't know. Connor, who's on the board today, doesn't know, and I'm just shocked.
Okay, like my only cultural reference growing up when it came to the Miami Dolphins was watching Ace Ventura Detective, okay? So, like...
I mean, Hootie and the Blowfish is kind of that big. They're an important part of 90s living. I admit, maybe that's just me. I digress. At Chinee, at Mike Golic Jr., did you know that Hootie, did you know that Darius Rucker was talking about the Miami Dolphins when he said, the Dolphins make me cry? I'm going to be shocked, I have a feeling, by the answers we get to that. But coming up next... How shocked should we be about what's gone on with Boston? And are we even more shocked at where the blame has finally found itself to? We'll get to that next. Chinee and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chinee and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I knew when I asked the question, I was going to be disappointed by some of the answers here. Chinee and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Chinee Agwumike. I promise we'll get back to a interesting bit of chaos that I heard getting batted around this morning. Dak for Russ, who says no? Words that are going to, I'm sure, come back to bite me. We are hitting peak sports talk, and we're doing it early. But, Chinee, I asked everyone around here. I asked at Chinee and at Mike Golic Jr. on Twitter if there were people that, like you, like our friend Alyssa Lang at the SEC Network, who didn't know in the Hootie and the Blowfish song, Only Want to Be With You, that when Darius Rucker said, I'm such a baby because the Dolphins made me cry, that he was talking about the Miami Dolphins, not actual Dolphins. Nicole Gus, too, tweets in at us, I didn't know Hootie meant Dolphins, but in my defense, I thought the lyric was a Dolphin. So I think that's why I didn't make the connection. Also, I was 4 when it was released. And it's fair to wonder if a single Dolphin might be enough, although I just Google image search a picture of Darius Rucker and a Dolphin, and they seem to be getting along fine, so I didn't see tears there.
Okay, I feel like this is unfair on me and my expectations and all of us, because not all of us can hang out with Darius Rucker all the time. I know he's a friend of the family.
Listen, Darius is a friend of the family, and so I do have a more vested interest in those lyrics, but it's not like Hootie and the Blowfish wasn't a wildly popular, internationally successful band, so...
But you're trying the wrong one. I mean, I mess up lyrics even when I try them and do them right, so...
That is a fair point. At Chinee, at Mike Golic Jr., if you agree with Chinee, where you were in the dark on this...
I grew up Medium Word-Up magazine, salt and pepper, heavy D up in the limousine, hanging pictures on my wall. I'm better, y'all.
I was going to say,
I promise you.
Chinee, you know what? It's the athlete mindset in you where if there's something where you find out, all right, I'm not so great at this, you work at it until you get better. And that is already light years improved.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm really glad if you're just joining us for the first time here on Chinee and Golic Jr. I hope you weren't here for the first time that Chinee attempted to sing Juicy on air, because it didn't go so great. Speaking of things not going so great, we are presented by Progressive Insurance, and the Boston Celtics, Chinee, do not have things going so great around here. This has been a team that's been struggling a lot during the course of this season, so much so that our friend Kendrick Perkins, ESPN NBA analyst, guy who knows a thing or two about Boston and the Celtics, went on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin and brought up a name being held accountable in Boston that I feel like is happening for the first time I can remember since he got there.
Brad has to get held accountable. It was times when I was playing in Boston, Doc Rivers got held accountable. It's just that Brad is going to have to switch things up. If not, then Danny Ainge got to go out and find someone else that's going to come in and not be afraid to address Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and call them out in certain situations or call a timeout and go crazy on the sideline. Like, you need that. I don't know who could be the coach or who could replace Brad. I'm not even saying that Brad needs to get fired. I'm saying that Brad needs to elevate, and he needs to get better and elevate his situation, elevate himself to help the Celtics, because right now he's not doing anything anyway.
Brad Stevens has often been looked at like the boy wonder and a reason. I mean, people have likened him at times on par with a player as far as his impact on this team. Chiney, how much do we get to blame coaches in the modern NBA, even ones that have been as loved up as Brad Stevens?
Every coach can take heat when their team underperforms. No one is immune to this. And when it comes to the Boston Celtics, it's first important to acknowledge that they've only played two games with Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, and Kemba Walker all suited up. So obviously, Brad Stevens is dealing with the COVID situation and the protocols and players coming in and out. And also, Kemba wasn't healthy until the start of this year. And in the interim, like, so on one side, you have that. You have the situation that he's trying to deal with. On the other side, you still do have two of the most premier young talents in the NBA that are both all-stars. And we just got the news today. Was it Woj that tweeted that Jason Tatum is going to be starting in place of Kevin Durant in the all-star game?
Yep.
So you have an all-star starter and Jaylen Brown, who is another all-star. And with that talent plus the system that, you know, historically the last few years we've seen with Brad Stevens, they're a plug-and-play team. You've got two top talents. Everyone else should be able to get into formation, and that's not happening. And I'll take you into the meta world of what I'm dealing with when it comes to NBA analysis as your nerd and the numbers. What Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are doing, they're playing great basketball. But the Boston Celtics are playing more isolation basketball this year than they have ever had before, even when they had Kyrie Irving on their squad. So you're playing isolation basketball, you're going off the dribble, and they're probably like 23rd in points off of assists. That's not what we normally know with the Celtics. They're the type of team, and you know when I say team, Junior, it's like they're a team. They move the ball. They make the extra passes. So their shift in style has helped produce two All-Stars, but at the same time, their shift in style has taken them away from what made them better than most teams, and that's playing team basketball. And yeah, and that is part of like the challenge that Brad Stevens has to deal with, not only making sure the guys can be healthy and out there, but it's also, all right, we see you guys take your game to the next level. You guys are both all-stars, Jaylen and Jason. Maybe we need to focus on moving the ball the second half of the season so we can make a playoff push.
I guess that's my question, though, is why has this happened? Because I'm with you. The way we look and try and see what the effect of a coach looks like, especially in basketball, tends to be, all right, what do the after timeout plays look like in critical situations? What are you drawing up in those spots? Because it's a league we largely recognize and understand is dominated by players, especially on teams where you have great ones. But when you have teams with great ball-moving offensive systems, like we've seen in the past from the Spurs, like we've seen from the Golden State Warriors in their prime, and like was always, you mentioned, associated with the Celtics, what does that shift say about Brad Stevens' role in all of this? Why all of a sudden would you have a team that's starting to operate differently, especially when it's down some of these talented players?
A very major distinction here, Junior, in the NBA when it comes to coaching. You have coaches that deal with personalities, and that's something that Frank Vogel has done really well. You've got LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and a number of personalities. All right, I'm going to be the steadying force so that through the highs and lows of the season, you're going to hear this voice. That's personalities. Then you have guys that are dealing with personnel, like Brad Stevens, who's been able to play the X's and O's game and put people in positions to succeed. Now his personnel has personalities where they're stars in the league, where they're going to sort of get their ego and their game off on their own terms. And so he just has to shift his mindset.
It is amazing to think, because I think for a long time, Brad Stevens and the Celtics felt very Spurs-esque, where it was, with very few exceptions, not going to be a lot of superstars, not going to be a lot of egos involved in that equation. And so now, as you start to balance those things, you wonder if a new iteration of the Celtics can have that same success. Because seeing a world where Brad Stevens is actually being openly criticized is one that I am going to need some time getting used to based on the kid gloves that this guy used to get dealt with. Plenty more on that, but coming up next, the six words that set so many people off this morning. Dak for Russ, who says no? Next here on Chiney and Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio.